Tonight I want you to take your Bibles to turn to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. The topic or the title of my message tonight is to make it right. You know, there's a lot of argument in the world. There's a lot of dissension in the world. There's a lot of distrust in the world. There's a lot of hurt and people taking advantage of each other in the world. And Christ gives us answers for that too. And so tonight we're going to look at what some people call church discipline, but it's also an issue of restoring and reconciling people together. And so we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 20. And the scripture says, "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he neglect to hear thee, tell it to the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." This last verse is important, because in a group of Christians, there's power. In the group of Christians, there is the presence of God. And so God wants us to make things right when one wrongs another. And we're all human, and we're going to do it. In way of introduction, you know something? I don't know of anyone in here that doesn't want things to go right. And it's kind of frustrating today because there's a lot of stuff out there that doesn't go right. There's a lot of stuff that goes in our families that don't go right. We wish that they would go right, but how do we deal when they don't? How do they deal when they don't? We should all want to do right. And if you don't want to do right, then there's something wrong with you as a Christian. There is something wrong with your relationship with Christ, because we're supposed to have on the breastplate of righteousness. We're supposed to be righteous. We're supposed to be holy in all conversation. Be ye therefore holy, even as I am holy. And we should all want to make things right. You know, when you're have a disagreement with your best friend, it causes some sort of angst in your life, and it causes an empty spot, and there's something that says, we really need to get this right, and you want to reconcile and you want to restore that. We should want to do those things. If we don't want to do those things, then we're a Grinch. Okay? We're a Grinch, and we're not doing what God wants us to do. You know, there are three things that we want to talk about this tonight. First of all, there's the problems of not making things right between people in your family, between people in the church. But I'm going to look at the church tonight. The first thing is of not making things right is God's worship is hindered. God's worship is hindered. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 23-24, it says, "Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there the thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be what? Reconciled unto thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift." It's more important to God that we all be reconciled one to another than to have worship or to have offering or have sacrifice. You know, David said, "Oh, how great it is for how all the brother dwell in what? In unity." So the problems of not making things right, the problems of having things fester between people, is that God's worship is hindered. And if you just keep on going on like there's nothing going wrong, that's hypocritical. We're not doing what God's word says. The second thing is, God's work is hindered. God's work is hindered. In Romans chapter 12, verses 17 through 20, it says, "Recompense to no man evil for evil." Don't get even. That's the world's way of doing it. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Don't tell people that something's right when it's not. Do things honest in the sight of all men. If it be what? Possible. As much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. That's not to get even. That's to actually help him make a fire later on. Be not what? Overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Folks, if there is disagreement between people in the church, that hinders your worship. God wants you to get that right. Amen. If there's disagreement with people and it starts festering even more, then we start thinking evil instead of good. And we're not supposed to be overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. If you don't resolve things quickly, little things can grow into mountains. The other thing is God's will is hindered. God's will is hindered. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3, it says that we are supposed to endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Amos 3:3 says this, "Can two walk together except they be what? Agreed." Now, let's look at this. Go back to our passage. In verses 15 through 17 here, we see the steps here. But the real reason is in 18 and 19 and 20. It says, "Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye bind on earth shall be bound in heaven." That's God's will. That's God's word. That's God's work. That's God's power. All those things have to be let loose. And folks, when we have disagreements, they won't be let loose. "Again, I say unto you, that if two or three agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them." Folks, we need unity.
Amen.
Why are you preaching that tonight? Is there a problem? No, but there can be. I just want to go back and we review this. And we understand why we want to watch our words and watch our little actions and watch all those things so things don't get blown out of proportion. So we see here the problems of not making things right. God's worship is hindered. God says don't do it if you got odd against somebody else. Fix it. Oh, by the way, the next verse after that is, "Agree with thy adversary quickly while you're in the way." God's work is hindered because we can't bind things in heaven. We can't bind things on earth. We can't unleash God's power and His grace on things. And then God's will is hindered. What is the purpose of making things right? What is the purpose of making things right? Well, the first one is, it's not to win or prove your point. It's not to win or prove your point. There was a disagreement among the disciples because James and John's mom asked Jesus to have them sit on the sides of God in heaven, in the throne room of heaven. And the other 10 got offended about it, by it. And it caused some disagreement there. And then Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 20, verses 25 through 28. He says, "But Jesus called them unto him and said, Ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you." Get that worldly action out of your life. Get that worldly thought out of your life. Get that worldly reaction out of your life. "It shall not be among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister." What we need in our churches, we need humility.
Amen.
What we need in our life, in our lives, is a servant's heart. It's not about us. It's about Him. We are debtors. We are debtors to Him. "And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many." So what is the purpose of making things right? It's not so you can win. It's so that God can win. It's so that right can win. It's so that we can have unleash God's power on earth. It's not to judge the other. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 3, it says, "Judge not, that ye be not judged." And here's the kicker. In verse 2, it says, "For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged." You point one finger, you got four pointing right back at you. "And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye?" So, the purpose of making things right is not to win or prove your point. It's to let God win. The purpose of making things right is not to judge the other. There's only one judge, and that's Christ.
Amen.
There's only one judge, and that's Christ. The purpose is found in verse 15 of our text. And it says, it is gaining your brother. It's gaining your brother. Now, the Corinthian church had a problem. They had a problem of people taking others to court. They had people in immorality in the church. One day, out here on prayer ministry, I had somebody come up, and they were talking about, "Pray for our church, because someone took the song leader of the church to sue because they were taken off the song schedule." Now, what? Yeah. See, we get all wrapped up in what we think we ought to do. We think we're entitled to something, and instead of letting God work in the situation. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 through 20, it says, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the" what? Everybody. The ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. What's the word of reconciliation? It's God's word. It's God's will. It's God's work. "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." If you have aught against your brother, you're not in right relationship with God. Done. And so, we see the problems. We see the purpose. It's to restore, it's to reconcile, it's to bring peace. It's to eliminate those problems. And now we talk about the practice. Facebook is a destructive force. When you post something on Facebook, everybody sees it, that's your friend. And I still get it. I still have an issue with friends. Send a friend request. You're not my friend. Walk it down the street. You're not my friend. Friend someone more. As iron sharpens iron. You don't do anything by reading stuff or posting stuff on a wall. It doesn't happen that way. So, here's the issue. It says that if your brother trespass against thee, go and tell him, okay? Tell him your fault between thee and him alone. Okay? Alone. What does alone mean? Between you two and no more. So it's one on one privately. One on one privately. Now there's responsibilities here. Okay? There's responsibilities here. There's responsibility for the speaker. And before you go and you try to correct something, you make sure that you know how to do this. You make sure you're in right standing with God. Galatians chapter 6 verse 1 says this, "Brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of," what? Meekness. You're not out to win. You're not out to prove your point. You're out to reconcile and restore your brother or sister. "Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." Colossians chapter 4 verse 6. "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may be know how to ye ought to answer every man." One on one privately. Privately. Not even in a crowd where people can overhear you. Have you seen what goes on when there's some sort of disagreement? There's always someone there with a camera. There's always someone there to record. There's always someone there, and it posts out there and it just blows up. Folks, we need to get back to basics. We need to understand that the world wants to defeat us. They don't want God's power unleashed on earth. But folks, we have the secret here. So it's one-on-one privately. There's the speaker, and then there's the hearer. There's the hearer. James chapter 1 says this, "Finally, my brethren," everybody be what? Quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. But it goes on here. In James chapter 1 verse 21 it says, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with" what? "Meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul." So the speaker needs to be weak, meek, and the hearer needs to be meek. Pride is gone. Sides are gone. You're trying to work into the spiritual problem and trying to resolve it. One-on-one privately. The speaker, the hearer, and then you forgive and forget. You forgive and forget. Matthew 6 verses 14 through 15 says this, For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses, and you've gone nowhere. God's worship is hindered. God's work is hindered. God's will is hindered. And we haven't gone anywhere. So the first thing is one-on-one. One-on-one. The second one is, it says, and it says, "But if he will not hear thee." I've had people try to come direct to me and try to solve a problem. And I say this, don't. Have you talked to them alone? No. I'm not your judge. You go fix it. And if you can't fix it, then you can come talk to me. But people want to get allies. People want to build up little support sayings and say, I want to come with my support agency. No, don't do that at all. It says, but if thou wilt not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. There's parties plus witnesses. And there's three S's when you do this. Here's my three S's. The first one is, both sides are heard. Both sides are heard. You know, have you tried to get in between something and someone tries to say something? That's a lie. That's a lie. That's a lie. You're not getting anywhere. There's a problem here. You got to see both sides of this. You got to see both sides of this. Scripture is sought out. Scripture is sought out. We've already gone through a whole bunch of scriptures on why we should do this. And then figure out which one is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And that issue from the Word of God is what? It's the rhema. It's the specific word that deals with the problem that you have. And then silence kept. Silence is kept. No one talks. And if you see something going on, you don't sit and conjecture on what it is. We might be in there buying a car. But the issue is that these things can blow up. It shouldn't even get to this point. We ought to be adult enough and spiritually mature enough to resolve all these issues on our own. That was the problem with the Corinthian church. That was the problem with the Galatian church. That was the problem with all those new churches. And it can always happen. So the practice of making things right, the first thing is one-on-one privately. The second one is parties plus one or two witnesses. One or two witnesses. Both sides are heard. Oh, by the way, everybody that's involved needs to be spiritual. Everybody that's involved needs to be meek. Everybody that's involved needs to understand what the Scripture says. You don't go get your champion and they get their champion. That doesn't work. It's someone that's objective and someone that's independent of the whole situation. Scripture sought and silence is kept. So what does that work? That doesn't work. Parties plus the church. Parties plus the church. And if it be, if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a republic. I'll get to that in a minute, okay? The only one that makes a judgment in this situation is the church. Why? Because God has given the church authority. So this issue, you can't make a decision on what it is. It just keeps on escalating and then it finally gets to the church itself, which is Christ. He's the judge. The problem of taking people to law, Paul addresses in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 12. It says, for what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye what? Judge them that are what? Within? Within the church. You don't take it to another church. You keep it inside this church. The second, what is the attitude of the church for this? 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 8. Wherefore I beseech you that you would confirm your love towards him. Once again, the church does not take sides. The church is looking for the truth. The church is looking to glorify God. The church is looking to worship God. We're not picking sides. We're not proving who's right or who's wrong. We're proving that God's right, and that right be done, and that this offense be taken away and forgotten. What is the purpose? Restoration and reconciliation. Third, the aim of the church is restoration. The aim of the church is restoration. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 10 through 11. For godly sorrow worketh repentance. Now, the problem with the church in Corinth was they had this dude that was out. He was destroying the testimony of the church because of his immorality. Wouldn't stop when people talked to him, so it went up to the church on that. And when it came up to the church, he repented. Because realize what it was. The church was showing their love for him. The church was showing their authority. And it says here, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. Verse 11, for behold, this selfsame thing, that ye sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you. You know why? Because we can all do it. We could all succumb to the same problem. We could allow this to blow up and split a church. Say, for what carefulness it wrought in you, yea, what clearing of yourselves. You have revival. Yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vehement desire against sin. Yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge, in all things ye have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter to the glory of God. The aim of the church is restoration. And that guy got restored. But it took a long process, and in the process, there was a lot of bad things. They were glorying in it. They were making light of it. They were telling it, and it got out of the church. And all the things happened. And it was a blight on the church. So, the parties plus the church is the authority. The second thing is the attitude that we have to have. The third thing is the aim of the church is restoration. And then the last thing is the agony of the church if not resolved. Matthew chapter 18 verse 17 says this. And this is Christ's words. He's let them be treated as a heathen man or as a publican. They're still welcome to come to the church. They're just not part of the church. Because what's the issue? Restoration. Reconciliation. And it might take taking that person out from under the authority and the protection of the church and let them figure that out for themselves and get back right with God. God always restores. And if that person comes back to church and apologizes and everything else, who gives us a right not to accept that? We ask Christ to go and do that for us. We need to do the same thing for them. Amen. We need to do the same thing for them. So this is just a little bit of discipleship tonight on how you do this. We don't talk to other people. You keep it close. You let God work it. And you do what God says to do. And be careful of all the things that are available now and who's around because they want to destroy the church. To make it right, we got to do things right. To make it right, we must do things right. And let's not shortcut what God's Word says. It goes for everything that we do. So, let's make it right. Amen?
Amen.
If you got some sort of issue, get it resolved. I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to hear about it. I know there's issues here. Fix them. Fix them. Don't go to your best friend. Don't go to someone else. And if you see something like that, just stay out of it. Let God work. Pray for the situation. Pray for the situation. Amen? Amen. Let's stand.